Stories of reinvention will continuously be something I'm drawn to bring to you and really be a cornerstone of helping midlife women get unstuck on surfing the quicksand, right? There's nothing better than somebody else's story to hear their struggles and what they were facing and choices they had to make and success and learning that came out of it to maybe inspire you to take a risk in something you've been dreaming about. My guest today is a woman I've known for a long time through her professional role, and we've intersected in a number of different ways that I'll talk about. But she is someone who kind of faced a real tragedy of business when the pandemic came around because she had a very, very in-person business and one really driven for in-corporate audiences, and all that shut down. And she needed to redefine for herself and, in some ways, reinvent herself from the ground up in order to stay afloat. And what's come out for her is a story that I love listening to because it inspires me as an entrepreneur. It inspires me as a midlife woman. And it inspires me as somebody who's so connected to build community and connection with my audience because that's just what she's done over and over again. Welcome to Surfing the Quicksand. I'm your host, Kathy Vines. Mary Lou Andre is an entrepreneur, a nationally known stylist. She's been in every television station, every major newspaper, every major magazine talking about style. She's a coach, she's an author, she's a speaker. And she's spent her whole career really helping people show up better inside and out for what they want in life, especially professionally. But today we're going to flip the script a little bit because we're talking about how she had to kind of rewrite what she's doing to show up better in a world that had changed with the pandemic. If you can imagine a space where in-person styling and styling people for the office both didn't matter anymore, it was kind of evolve or perish, I would expect. And we're going to hear a bit about that because what she's doing now is really reframed how she empowers and inspires people in a way that brings her more joy than ever before. I'm so excited to introduce you to Mary Lou Andre. Welcome, Mary Lou.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It's just terrific to be here.
I'm lucky because I feel like you and I have had touch points literally over decades where I've known you personally and professionally, including decades ago in an audience at Fidelity Investments when you came to speak to us about showing up and executive presence. And you and I have both had paths crossed through NAPO, the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals, where not only were we both member of the New England chapter, but you and I have been on panels together talking about our author work. And we've shared clients, you from your perspective and me from mine. We've had some of the same clients. And there's probably other ways that we've overlapped over the years. And I'm so pleased to be able to bring you on and talk about your reinvention. This quick surfing the quicksand is so much about helping midlife women get unstuck. And I think you've been helping people do that for years, not only from your very specific stylist angle, but really the way you've been working lately as a coach. I want to start talking about the before story, though, the who you were before the pandemic. What was organization by design? What was dressing well method? What was that just 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Living my best life, Kath. I don't know about you. I certainly didn't see that pandemic coming. We were 80% in person on March 1st, 2020. So, as you can probably guess, it was pretty shocking to be locked in our homes when we, me and my stylist team, were out every day, working with clients both in their home, in corporate settings, taking them shopping, doing all the things, and all of a sudden that came to a halt. I was also at that point in doing a lot of work in corporations, still speaking, like how I met you at Fidelity, still working with a lot of executives, had a lot of work on the books that all got canceled. I remember sitting there, and I think it was Friday the 13th was the last day anybody on my team was out in the marketplace. And I remember every week just flipping the calendar and seeing all those appointments. We had spring booked at that point. My speaking career and corporate training programs were well booked into the whole 2020 at that point. Some of them were even booked into 2021. And it was just this moment of time, like everybody has their COVID story. It was truly unbelievable. But as an entrepreneur, after I got over the shock of it, and of course, as a leader, and when you're leading people and you're leading teams, you gotta, be strong. You've got to be the one showing up, even when you don't feel so good on the inside, sharing the vision. We made a decision as a team that we weren't going to let this bring us down. We jumped on Zoom very quickly. It was such a new tool. It was so scary. And one of the first things I did was write a tip guide on 10 ways to show up on Zoom. And called some of my clients, and I had three actually. And I said, could I do this for your teams pro bono in exchange for a testimonial? And so that worked. So right away, we had a strong program that we could deliver. I was able to, some of the jobs that were booked, I was able to transition them to online. But it wasn't easy, Kathy. It was a brand new medium. I certainly was not comfortable with it. It was scary. There was, a lot of things being bought at my, I had two kids in college. They were both home. I had my husband working at home. All of the computers going at the same time, all of the crashing and the and everything that was happening. Then I'd be in the middle of a Zoom and one of my kids would join his online Zoom and the camera would come crashing down. Plus trying to get all the tools in place. I remember in my home office, my husband spraying on the windows like a non-glare product so that the light wasn't streaming in at certain times of day. So it was incredibly chaotic, but out of that storm grew a new business, Kathy. So yes, crazy, yes, scary, but now that we're on the other side, we're a stronger and better company.
So much of your story around that time resonates with mine, and as you're right, and everybody else's. I was somebody who had already been doing virtual organizing, right? So I have my organizing business, I have my career coach and resume writing business, and both of them I had already been doing a fair amount from home, from this couch, from right here, and I found that I was able to pivot really quickly into virtual organizing, not only because I was already doing it, but the other thing was I started working with other professional organizers across the country instantly to try and help them get up and running. Like I instantly had to pivot what it is that I have to offer and to whom am I offering it? And I was so grateful that I had something like that to be able to do, just like you saying, all right, we need to teach your team how to show up better on Zoom because this isn't going away. So let's kind of accelerate that ramp. Again, really clever and lucky entrepreneurs saw opportunity, had good networks that we could tap into to say, hey, can you help me launch and pivot? And that I think really helped people go into a new direction.
Yeah, and for us too, it was just to your point, we had a lot of the know, like, and trust already built up in our client base, in our partners, and it was time to lean in. So we, and the other thing that we did as a team is we reached out to our clients to check in on how they were doing. So there was just the beginning, it was just for me, it was all give, reach out to people, see how they're doing, see if there's anything that we can do for them. People were locked in their homes. There was a lot of loneliness. So there was some things, and we can get into it in the program. There was some things that we did based on the connections with our clients that have become really significant initiatives and programs today.
And I remember as being a follower of your company already on social media that you were providing so much more content through Instagram and Facebook at that point in time, or at least it seemed to me that there was more content going out there for the kind of average person like me sitting at home and tips like that. So not only just working directly with your clients who pay you, but the rest of us to benefit too.
Yeah, that was a very big strategic move that so what I ended up doing, Kathy, was I got busy pretty fast. I didn't sit around and kind of lick my wounds. I said, okay, let's get organized. And once we reached out to all of our clients, created the virtual packages, which was not easy. I was working 24/7 to do that. Again, we had spring already sold, so we were able to transition some of those appointments online. But the thing that I did that actually really turned the company into a online styling company that it is today was I did two things. I am an executive coach. I have certification. I was already signed up for a high-level certification in June. And like many of us do, I paid in full in January to get, if you paid in full, you got a nice discount. So I paid in full in January thinking, oh, this is great. This is my June initiative. A couple big learnings from that experience. I ended up being the first cohort that this coaching program put online. There was 40 of us. There was about 10 women and 30 men. A lot of them were HR executives, and they were getting coaching certifications for their next chapter. And what I took away from that program was group that you was there was two tracks, one-on-one coaching that I was already doing a little bit, but I was really interested in group coaching. So it's like, huh, I just experienced this. Plus, Kathy, as you know, being an entrepreneur, I was supposed to be in Sarasota. I was supposed to fly on my own dime, stay at the hotel on my own dime. I don't know about you, but 5 nights of dinners is not my idea of a good time. I get tired. It was going to be wardrobe, hair, and makeup. All of a sudden, June 1st, I think, was when the program started. The gentleman that taught it was military. He was right on time. He was very strict in his orientation. We had 1 week to do the homework every night, to pass the test on Friday. We start at 9 a.m. We had a break from 12 to 1. So I was out walking my dog. Program wrapped up about 4:45 every night. We had our homework, which was pretty intense, but I was home alone. My husband wasn't even home that week. And it was just this, oh my goodness, this is so delightful that it's not in a hotel with the same people, which I also became a little bit more of a introvert during the pandemic. I had always been an extrovert, but I think that that would have just put me over the top. So when I graduated from that program or got that certificate, I should say, I then said to myself, I want to start a women's group. I've always wanted to bring a big portion of our business is senior executive women. We work with both men and women in the styling space, but a big my co private coaching practice at the time, and a lot of our private styling clients who had been with us for years, Kathy, they were all senior executive women. A lot of them were in financial services, consulting, healthcare. They were all at home. Some of them were single. Some of them were used to going into offices and traveling. It was like a dramatic lifestyle change. And I said to myself, wouldn't it be cool? I'd always wanted to get this particular group of women, and I had their names. I knew who they were. Wouldn't it be cool to get them, use Zoom, use the opportunity to get them in a group? So I reached out. I named the program Thrive. I did a one sheet on what it was. And I really leaned into the pillars of our brand that have always been the pillars of our brand. There wasn't much reinvention in that capacity. There was a lot of reinvention and delivery, but I leaned into personal development, professional development, self-care, which was big back then, and self-care, of course, how you dress and show up is self-care. Giving back. We had a foundation that we had gotten off the ground. At that point, the foundation was about 5 years old. And networking. Those are the five things that we've always done well, whether growing the business or helping others with those core pillars. So I put a program around those pillars, reached out to, I had a list of about 14 women, and I said, if eight of them say yes, I'm going to go forward with this. I ended up getting 11, which was really exciting. And what was so interesting, Kathy, and to your point, it's the relationships and the connections and the goodwill and showing up and doing the work over and over again in a way that is expected, in a way that is consistent. I said to them, I don't know what the program is going to be. We're going to start January 1. I've got a founding member offer, so I priced it really well. I got them, I just said, I need you to pay by September 1. I think I contacted everybody in August. Everybody paid and I parked it. They all believed in me. I was like, it's going to be fantastic. I don't exactly know what it is, but it was going to be a monthly mastermind with guest speakers. I always wanted to bring this group on a retreat, which we're now in our 6th year of going on retreats, which has been a, I don't think that would have happened if the pandemic didn't occur. And then the next thing I did, and it goes back to doing what you saw, which was a lot of, I wasn't even on social media at the time, very, very little social media. I took the money from the group and I joined a very high level coaching program for service-based entrepreneurs that were going online. It was this one of the scariest things I ever did. It was one of the best, now that I can clearly say with confidence, it was one of the best decisions I ever made. My husband was right by my side. I joined that program and I started November 1st. And the first thing my coach said to me was, you have to start a Facebook group and you have to go live on camera every single week. Now, I had a lot of experience on camera. She had seen my clips. So again, it was leaning for your viewers. It's always leaning into your strengths when you're faced with any kind of, my business was going to go under if I didn't figure this out. So I said, okay, I'm a very good student. I've heard that I'm coachable because I am like a sponge and I will try anything. Kathy, I think you and I are very aligned in that department. So one day, I didn't even tell anyone I was doing it. I was in my living room, and if you ever told me 10, 15 years ago that you could use your phone in your home to connect with thousands of people, I would have told you you were nuts. But that's exactly what happened. I turned the phone on, I brought some stuff out of my closet, and I just started talking about clothes and style. And I had on the first night, there was like 54 people like live on the thing. And I didn't advertise it. I just, Facebook at the time would say, Mary Lou Andre is going live. And my coach was kind of in the background laughing at me. It freaked me out. And I turned the camera off. I got incredible feedback because whenever you do something the first time, you get the feedback. That's another lesson. You've got to be in it for the long game because the novelty wears away, but you need to understand that to really build something, it's like a professional athlete. It's repetitive steps, repetitive steps. And I then said, okay, something, this is great. I've got to now do it my way. So I came up with a 30-minute program. I had an awesome back of house team with me, Sabina Grady, who's still with me. She was very quick with graphics. She could do all that stuff that I couldn't do. So we named it. Sarah Zengo on my team actually came up with the line. By the way, we met every Monday for 2 hours as a team because it was changing so fast and the things that we needed to do were so quickly evolving that we all had to meet. And I remember Sarah came up with the name. And again, another lesson for those in your audience that are entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs is perfectionism needs to go out the window. Like imperfect action is the name of the game. So we took that name, Beyond Dressing Well Live. We did a quick little logo. Kathy, when I tell you that it changed my life, it is not an underestimate. I was so stressed during those days. From 7 to 7:30, we did it once a week for 3 years. The only time we took off was holidays, maybe a week in the summer. But I showed up because I had all these people waiting. And we got, as the pandemic waned, we got sophisticated with putting them on YouTube. Again, I had a team doing this. I had to stay focused on vision, connection, content, relevance, because it was changing. And you had asked me, a couple things that right when the pandemic, the first time it opened up, because then we went back to the house again, weddings were back. So I had to design content for weddings to talk to the audience. So I had my hands full, but that program became my joy. It was live, which is actually easier. 7 to 7:30. I love my topic. It gets me out of bed in the morning. I love structure. I love programs. So I would just come up with a topic. I would have 5 points, and I would go shop when I could go to the mall. I would shop for props. People love that. Then we started linking, but it was that half hour every week that I could be my true authentic self, and I didn't have to worry about payroll, tech, and there was times, Kathy, when the camera. I remember one time my little dog taking the camera down, and I just put it back up and I kept going. It was this relief not to have everything be so perfect. And I think the authenticity and the sharing, I mean, sharing is caring, and people were locked in the house. And the coach that inspired me, pushed me, pushed me is probably a better word, said, your clients are in their homes. And at that time, everybody was on Facebook. Facebook wanes now. Some of our programs, we've actually taken some of our programs off of Facebook and have private communities now. But it was the turnaround. And then when people were ready to have us have somebody back in their home, that know, like, and trust was even more established. So the weddings, people would ask me, what saved your business? Tech. Yankee ingenuity, and then coming out of it, weddings, because all of a sudden we had clients that we hadn't seen in a really long time, and they were coming back in groves. We didn't pull back on marketing. Even we sent a newsletter out. Then we got savvy with promoting the live show through, so the newsletter would go out with the top. So we'd send it out on Wednesday. We'd have the live show on Wednesday night. I was on Instagram doing Dressing Well Wednesdays, 3 tips in under 3 minutes to inspire everyday style. So I was did that every Wednesdays were a big day here. But that was another thing that I did that I think is important for your audience to know, is that I picked theme days. So I went all in on content on Wednesday. I did all, client team was Monday. Clients were Tuesday and Thursday when I had them, and it was many weeks that I didn't back then. I was always able to help somebody online. And then Fridays were catch up, and Fridays were exhausting because it always ran into Saturday because I was building a new business. And the other thing that came out of that time, which significantly changed everything, was I had the mastermind established. And I knew those women, so it wasn't quite as scary, although it still was scary. I was able to tap into my very big network of wellness experts, professional development experts, and say, could you come and speak to this group of women about women's health? Could you come and talk to them about executive presence, communication skills, whatever the topic was? And because we were giving and we'd always given huge referrals to folks and asked nothing in return, they all shut up for us. And then the really big shift was as I went through this program with this new coaching company. And I was a little bit different because my work was so in the field. Like, it wasn't in my office, and it needed to be at that time, as you remember, Kathy, we thought another pandemic was going to drop in our laps at any time. So I didn't have one. I didn't have two. I didn't have three. I had about 20 people reach out to me, strangers. Most of them I did not know. Few of them I knew. Do you have an online course that follows the methodology of your book? So my book came out, was very fortunate. It was published by Penguin in 2004. And the chapter that opened up for me was all the corporate speaking, because when you're a published author, it opens doors in the corporate space in a big way. So for 7 years after that book, I wasn't as people loved the book. I'm so proud of my book, and it allowed me to hire stylists because it ended. It's kind of like a training manual in a lot of ways, but it is our methodology, which is a big buzzword for online programs. And my coach was like, "You have a methodology. You have a book." So it was hard, Kathy. But so if you're following this story, I joined this program November 1. I go live like November 3rd. So now I have this huge time commitment on Wednesdays that I'm committed to. I have this program that I'm launching in January that I've already been paid to deliver. Like I was flying the plane, building the plane and flying the plane at the same time. And then my coach said, "You know what you have to do next, right? You have to create an online program for your book." So I did not come up for air on that. I had it almost done the end of November, and I'm a seller and I'm a business owner. And I knew that just putting that up there was not going to sell it. You just don't put something on a portal and expect it to sell. So I knew I had to have a plan in place. And people on my team didn't think it was a good idea. My coach was like, "You do what you think is right." So I launched it December 1st to sell it for a start date of January 20th. And I didn't have the whole thing done. But what I had, Kathy, is I had this online community that I had been showing up for, and they responded. And we sold pretty easily 12 spots in December, and we ended up having 15 spots by the time we launched it. But when I tell you, I came back from the holidays and worked 24/7 up until January 20th to get the downloads, the video, everything that had to happen. And it was a huge success right out of the gate. And then, like anything, we had an amazing first year with that. And then it started slowing down because people were not in there. But what we did is we took all these folks from all over the country that had bought my book, in 2024, 2004. And all of a sudden, they wanted the course in a more modern format. And that program ran for 3 years until we had to retire it because times were changing. I think that's the other thing that your audience might be interested to know is I was just listening to a really interesting podcast, even for some of your audience members that work in big corporations. People used to have major changes maybe every 5 to 10 years in a corporate environment. You worked at Fidelity, you know this. People are being asked to change today 8 to 10 times a year. They're being asked to throw out the plan from 6 days ago and adopt this plan. And I saw that happening, and it was scary. And I had to really watch the burnout for myself and my team. And retiring that program, I just knew it was time. And what we ended up doing was I think we put 125 people through that program. It was supported by private styling, so they were small cohorts. And at the end, it was a struggle to fill them, again, because people were not home anymore. But we had all these like new fans, these new clients. So we started Dressing Well Insiders as the next chapter for them. So that's still going strong today. That's led exclusively by Sarah Zengo on my team. So it's given her a really nice online, on camera experience for people that just really love her. And that program is got it's just fantastic. So now that's a monthly program with Sarah that teaches style, in real time. So those were the two big initiatives. They both worked, thank goodness, but I can't underestimate the amount of gratitude that I have for the clients that said yes, the partners that said yes, my team that said yes. And I wouldn't want to go through it again. You had asked me also about some trends. In-person consulting is back in a big way. That's once again our biggest revenue stream in the company. And then I changed. I know you asked me to
First, I want to kind of say back to some of the things I heard you talk about just in the last few minutes, and then I want to talk more about some of the other ways that you're changing now. I heard leaning into technology and even, a combination of even if you don't like it, if that's what's going on, you got to be in it to win it. Being comfortable getting on screen and connecting with people in a different way and doing it without the need for perfection and just letting that go, right? This was not only was that a time where you had to let go of perfection, I think people forgave that. Nobody was even expecting perfection. Like your dog knocking over a camera, people would be like, yep, that's happening in my house. I'm on a Zoom call. My cat's walking in front of the camera. Like people got it. And it was such a forgivable time to not be perfect. So to be able to rise up to that and be like, I'm going to shed that part of me is really strong. And I also think this focus on even if it's successful, you need to retire something, right? If you when you start to see that it's eclipsing, spending more money investing in a dying asset is not going to have the return that a fresh launch that looks at who is my audience today and what do they need today. Even though there can be a lot of upfront time and energy and money, being able to say, oh, we need to eclipse that one. And it's time to reinvent how we show up for who we want to serve and in a way that still keeps our business alive. Those really sounded like your grasp at every moment themes.
Yes, very well put, Kathy. Yeah, you have to really, one of the things I heard, I also educated myself. There wasn't, I was listening to podcasts. I was taking, I invested a lot of actually money in joining these various programs because I needed to be in the room with people that were experiencing what I, and being an entrepreneur, yeah, I'm sure you, it's lonely. Like there's, and I'm not the type of person that needs to go talk about my business with all my friends. My friends are so sacred to me. But I remember one of a really great presenter said, skate to where the puck is going. And I just, that's like such a well, people use that saying. I think it was the first time I'd ever really heard it. I'm not really a big sports person, but I was like, huh. And then the other one was really trusting your intuition. I mean, I had people around me giving me all sorts of advice that wasn't right for me. And my, temperament and my energy levels and what I needed to do. And the second part of this whole story, and it's the vulnerable part that I'm very comfortable sharing, it was I then had to pick up the pieces of me. I went all in a very, it was exciting. It was also stressful. It was exhausting. And I got sick. So then it was, okay, I've got to use the same tools that I just used to save my business, to save myself. And I did. And that required a whole new set of wellness commitments that I'm very proud of. And our newest program, which is the Lifestyle Collective, that I launched the same way, Kathy. Last year, I reached out to some 10 women and said, would you like to be the founding members? They came. So we started with 10. We're now up to about 25. And that program is all about style, wellness, style, beauty, and wellness, and next chapters and stress reduction. And I'm able to tell my story and I'm able to share even more resources. I don't share anyone in that group unless I've tested it first, unless I've actually gone through a program or worked with a coach or know them personally or have referred them. But we have sleep experts coming in. Tomorrow, we have an OBGYN talking about menopause. We have last year, we had a makeup artist that taught us all how to put use five products to put on before Zoom. The old me, Kathy, was in the car, first stoplight, mascara, second stop. Like lipstick. But it's just all topics to your point. It's keeping pace with your customers. And what's really exciting and what's going on in the firm right now is we are on the journey with them. Like it just couldn't be a better place to be in. So we're still offering our standard styling. That will never go away. We have our dressing well five methodology that we use that it works because it's so common sense. And we get new clients day in and day out. And then we're able to, I still do most of the sales. I like sales. I really feel like sales are serving. When someone calls me, we're not doing cold sales, mostly because if we do so much outreach, we do so much community-based programs, Facebook. I'm still doing the Facebook live show. I do it once a month now, but I still do it and I love it. But you're able to really, I can sit at the top of the organization and say, Kathy would be a really great fit for our mastermind. Sue would be awesome in lifestyle collection. This person's a little younger. They might be perfect for Dressing Well Insiders, which is a lower priced, larger program, less access, more tools. And then you see people growing alongside us. And like the Lifestyle Collective came from 10 people I picked out of Insiders that I knew were ready for more. And that's been super cool. So now, even though we, and when I'm going to tell you how I changed a little bit, I was on the road for 7 years. It paid for my kids' college educations, and I was in boardrooms. I was in big companies from Disney to Comcast to Dow Chemical out in Michigan, who I just love those folks. I was up in Seattle with Boeing. Scary stuff when I first started. I was aligned with a very nice executive coaching firm that brought me in to do the executive presence piece. 7 years, no problems. I was like a plug and play. I did four seminars for them in Boston every year as part of their school. And then I was on the road. And then they would give us a lot of private clients. And I don't want to do that anymore. Corporate America has changed in so many ways. And I feel like, again, you referenced it so beautifully, like knowing when things are good. Like I have so many fond memories of that chapter. I know I touched so many people's lives because I was teaching. A lot of it was senior leaders. A lot of them were up and coming talent. Most of the programs were for those, those you were in corporate, those accelerated leadership programs. And it was just such a joy. And now when I speak, and I still do speak a lot, it's more for women's groups or affinity programs or networks. They're in Boston. Not that I wouldn't go somewhere else, that would be fine, but I don't need to. And again, part of my journey back to me was, yes, I figured it out. And I made the pandemic one of the proudest parts of my journey. But it also cost me a lot, Kathy. It was, and thankfully I have a phenomenal partner who called the whistle. He whistled. He said, we got it, you're done. So I think it was July of 2021 was when I kind of took the brakes off and I took a break. I actually had a few more months in that executive coaching program and it was expensive. And I said, in very honorable way, I'm done. Thank you so much. I love when something gives me value, all I want to say is thank you. But I knew I couldn't drive myself. If you were in that program, you were just grinding. And then the most interesting thing that happened was 2022 was the best year we ever had in business. It was like all that work, like I learned to let go. I learned to stand in my power. I learned to trust myself and I learned to really listen to my intuition. And 2022, it was the last year of that program. In the summer of 2022 is when I designed Dressing Well Insiders. We launched it in September. 2023 was tough because online changed. But we were, so then the focus became 23. We had a very good year last year. 23, 24 were tough. They were tough again because it was who am I? What am I really doing? And what am I being called to do now? And as you know, Kathy, as an entrepreneur, you got to sit with that. Like, you've really got to sit with that. So some beautiful stories that happened was we had a retreat that ran beautifully for 3 years with that one Thrive group. We were able to go to Canyon Ranch, which was a dream of mine. And I got, again, jumping off that bridge, like, oh my goodness, now I'm going into the retreat business. So I hired an advisor, I try to do things right, and I learned it. And now, because I'm so comfortable at Canyon Ranch, which again, I'm laughing, 10 to 15 years ago, I would have told you you were crazy if you thought I could bring 20 women. We brought 20 women this year. And the selling wasn't even that hard because the work's been done. But we started with 10. And then I said to my team, we have so many women that want this experience that will never do it without a group like ours because it's not that scary when you go with a group. So that's been really cool. Like the retreats have taken off. We're now opening that up to more people in our community. The Thrive group, which was my, they're still together. I'm doing a second retreat for them in the summer now because they want that intimacy that they had. Not that they, some of them still go to Canyon Ranch, but again, it has just been really rewarding to know that I have a new base. Like we've invested in the tech, I've invested in the coaching, I've invested in my own development. And now, like I pick a power word every year, and last year my word was detach. And I'm calling you from South Carolina right now. I'm down here for the month of February. I had an opportunity to land in my lap last March where I could rent this beautiful home. And my husband and I have been talking about it for a really long time. And we had to make the decision in a couple of days. And I was scared, being away from my business, my home, my kids. And I just detached from it. And I said, well, I trust myself to know. And it's been a year of, again, just up leveling. And I'm now able to teach in our lifestyle collective program. People in that program are really looking, they're hungry for less stress, time management, getting away from the crazy news cycle, everything that's going on. They want peace. They want connection. They want vetted speakers. They want to turn the noise off of Instagram on. Every menopause, once you've clicked on one menopause video,
All
you're getting
day.
100 of them, Kathy. So, honestly, that word detached just served me so well. And I just shared with one of our groups the other day, I've never trusted myself more in my life. I put our 2026 plan together. I'm a planner over the summer. I executed on it in September and October because I knew I needed to have a really strong January if I was going to take, and I'm working. I'm not, but for somebody that started 30 years ago going door to door with a rack to work with private client services, and I still can turn that revenue stream on anytime I want. I can't do that from South Carolina. So, and it really, I got my big client. So much of it's online today. The clients that I serve, I'm in touch. I sat here this morning and was in touch with several of them. But it's just about managing your time and knowing what your North Star is. And always, I'm a big journaler. I'm a big reflect. I really reflect on a lot of things. But it's really developing, like, what do I want my life to be? When is enough enough? And in all of my private coaching and my group coaching, it's really silly. And I'm sure you've seen it, the wheel of life. It's the pie chart.
Yes.
I go back to it all the time, Kathy. And when I really made the decision to come here, for your viewers that don't know what we're talking about, it has you evaluate how satisfied are you with your professional life, your family life, your significant other, your finances. Maybe spiritual or religious, if that's important to you, hobbies, friendships, love. And I really, discovered that my husband really stood by me and was my biggest cheerleader. So to come here, he's a big golfer, we're on a golf course. Why not? Why not?
So. I love that you use the wheel of life. I recently co-led a goal setting program for people where we used that wheel as a foundation to say, you might think you know what your goals are, but let's start with an understanding of where you fall against this. And I'll share it in the show notes. But I think a lot of people really took away. They said, I've never seen this before. I saw it a long time ago, and boy, are my answers different than they are when they were then. I would never would have revisited it without this prompt, right? And really just that idea of reflection on what matters to me today and how that has shifted and how that can be the foundation for what I let into my life, what I drive for, what I let go. It can, really is so powerful. I'm glad you raised that. And I also want to kind of, I really, the idea of that other thread that came through with so many of the programs that you've talked about is connection and being able for you to connect with your people and creating an opportunity for those people to connect with others. And I'm in my 13th year of the Clever Girl Organizing Challenge, and which is a paid membership group that we launch every January, and we go through every space and category in the house for 3 months. And what people tell me is it is the community I have built, and it is the way I connect with people one-on-one. It's not a like plug and play on-demand program. It's me they're getting, and we're building a safe and supportive and encouraging and empowering community of people just like them, and how powerful that can be to drive meaningful change in someone's life. And so the
And
fact that
that
you,
program is live, correct? That's what
yes,
you,
yeah, it's
yes, that's
live.
what
It's
people are
live.
craving, Kathy.
Yeah.
That's what people are craving,
Yeah.
yes.
So
Yeah,
your
that's
continued
conversation.
dedication to being able to do that and in new ways for the people who have stood by you for years and the new people that keep coming is it really resonates with what I've tried to do with my community and the people I think I've been serving. I tell people that, you know, creating Surfing the Quicksand, I really felt a calling to be bringing conversations like this and girlfriend to girlfriend conversations about things that I think midlife women really care about, whether it's about a content area that's impacting their lives or hearing stories, inspirational stories of people who have gotten themselves unstuck out of difficult situations or set new charts and visions for where they want their future to go. I love that these conversations, and I keep hearing from people how much they're enjoying them and inspiring them. But what I've known all along is my people are Gen X and older millennials. And 13 years ago, when I started my business, it was Gen X and older millennials, but we were just all 13 years younger. And being able to say, how has this cohort of people, my community, changed and shifted and aged and reinvented themselves along the way? I couldn't have done this podcast 13 years ago with this content because that's not what we cared about. This reinvention as an entrepreneur and finding how your voice can shift over and over again to meet the people you want to serve is the lifeblood of survival.
Absolutely. Yes.
I want to shift to the quicksand three, which is the three
Okay.
questions. And then we're going to come back and we're going to do two things when we come back. One, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you like some trends in style and fashion
Okay.
that we need to talk about that you were seeing. And then I want to make sure people can learn more about how to follow you, subscribe to you, learn from you, and sign up for different courses if they might be the right fit for you. So first, let's talk about the quicksand three. My first question
Okay.
is, what is a way when you are avoiding or procrastinating something that you get off your butt and actually face it?
Great question. I schedule it. I schedule it in the calendar. It could be that afternoon, it could be Saturday, but I schedule it.
You know, it's for you, I kind of already said you're a planner, right? And for some people, you know, planning is what am I doing in 2026? But planning is often also what am I doing this afternoon or what am I doing in the next 10 minutes? And we know that things that are important but not urgent aren't going to happen unless they get on the calendar for so many people. So I'm glad you said that one. Number two, if time and money and skills and period in history were not an issue, what would be a career or job you might have liked to try?
Oh my goodness. I would love to run a sanctuary for rescue dogs. I would love to own it, develop it, design it, connect the dogs to their new homes. Because my dog Susie, who is a rescue, she came into our life before the pandemic, but she saved me during the pandemic. And I just have such a heart for these animals. They give me so much joy, Kathy. And just this morning, looking at her, at the little face, and I don't know if you're an animal lover. I lived without an animal for I had dogs growing up, and then I lived for a very long time without dogs until one day my son and I kind of got together and went to visit. And Susie came home with us. So I think
Oh my
that
gosh.
really, yeah, if you're saying like, yeah, because that would get me out of bed. That would get me out of bed in the
Yeah,
morning.
I love that. Oh my gosh, what a fun answer. And then last question is, when life is chaotic, what is a way that you recharge or hit the reset button?
A couple ways. So usually it's my girlfriends. I've got a couple of those girlfriends that I can just get on the phone and talk and talk and talk. And it's like therapy and love and joy and acceptance. So that's one. And the other one is to take my little girl out on a walk. I've been at my desk many days where it's like, I gotta shake this juju off. There's something in the air right now. And it never ceases to amaze me is getting out in nature, whether it's 2 degrees in Boston or 70 degrees where I am here today. This is a good fashion tip for you. There is no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. So as long as I have my hat and my little girl with me, she has a beautiful wardrobe, by the way,
Of course.
Kathy. She is styling on our walks, getting out in nature, regardless of whether my pup's with me, but when she's with me, the combination is pretty healing.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. Okay, so let's pivot a little bit. Tell me about when we're talking about what's on a stylist's docket in 2026. What is driving calls your way, and what are you talking to people about?
Oh, so good, so good. I think when people say, ask me right now, what's in style, my number one answer is comfort. So one of the positives that came out of the pandemic is that we are no longer wearing high heels like we used to. I know I'm not, I mean, I have clients that still wear them, but when I tell my kids or in their girlfriends that I used to go, my first job was at the State House in Massachusetts. I used to take the train to South Station in Boston in high heels with nylons on in July and August and run to the State House. I mean, really? Would any, there was no bringing your sneakers back then. So that almost feels like the dark ages. So today, the biggest thing is comfort. So when we are called, people are like, I have a closet full of clothes. I have nothing to wear. And a lot of times it's been they've had a lifestyle shift, whether professionally or personally, and they haven't brought the closet up to reflect that. So and comfort and color and women of a certain age, I know your program is about reinvention. I'm always, when anybody calls for anything, it's like life is so serious. If your clothes are causing you stress, let's solve that. So we make, I think people are craving fun and creativity. Again, it's some dire stuff going on in our world. So I also think, one of our callings is to make fashion fun, even with people that don't like to shop. We have a process and a system. And I also think like people are, especially in your demographic, I know in my demographic, people are really wanting to shed things. So having my little Susie in the house, when I used to think of the word shed, it was get the lint brush. But now in my life, it's people just want to downsize. They want to do more with less. And I think it's an area of control and an out of control world. I think you go faster with less. And then when the fun stuff comes in, I'm never about telling someone that they have to get rid of everything. You're an organizer. I know that I'm preaching to the choir, Kathy. 80% of it can go. And it's the big buzzword right now, capsule wardrobing. Most people don't even understand what it is, but we have kind of our own take on that. And we are really right now refresh every couple years your core base wardrobe, the leg length shifts, the length shifts, jacket shapes shift. Right now, there's a trend, for a fuller cut pant, which looks better with a shorter jacket. So sometimes it's just looking at what people have. And if they, I've got like just a simple black top on today. This has been in my wardrobe for a long time. I can make this look very different with the piece of jewelry. I had it on earlier with a kind of funky animal print trench coat when I ran out to do some errands. So it's definitely, people are looking for simplicity. They're looking for a capsule. They're looking for colors. They're looking for advice. Our clientele, we work with all ages, but we are really that 45 to 65. It's shifting towards 70 because women are staying in the workforce. Women are getting it done. It is awesome to be over 60 in this world. It's just empowering, and we are surrounded with incredible women. But they want to show up, whether it's at a board meeting. Some of them are done with their formal job, but they're on boards. Some of them are still going into offices. Some of them are showing up at their grandchildren's graduations, and they want to look appropriate. So I would say comfort, appropriateness, flattering colors, understanding the trends, but not being completely driven by them. And our goal is always to our 5-step process is to get really clear on somebody who somebody is today. We use that wheel again. How much of your time is family, professional? Do you have trips coming up? Like we're consultants. We're there for our clients. And then when we get in the closet, it's retiring with grace and dignity. Our foundation really steps into place. We donate for folks. We do a lot in that space because I think it's important. And then it's like, well, you're going, I have a client right now. We were able to make 20 new outfits for her big corporate job. And then she's got two graduations, a high school and a college, and a big trip with the family. So I was like, let's not shop. Let's shift the spend to April, May to hit the graduations, the trip. And she was just delighted. So people are craving common sense. People are spending, but they're not spending. They spend with a plan. And it's our job to make the case, just like I shared, in a very thoughtful way. And then once we retire things that either don't fit, you and I talked, the weight loss drugs have also driven our business significantly, especially with men, Kathy. There's a lot of men because you can, if you're a woman, you can wear a dress or a skirt. Or especially a dress, if you've had a major weight loss, that the dress is still going to get on your body. Men, like they can't get the pants are just slipping off of them. So we jump into people's worlds very quickly. First, with the assessment of what their life actually is. I think one of the biggest myths, I guess, is you have all these clothes, I still can't get dressed. Most of the time, it's because they don't match what you actually do. And then we do, I was, before I was anything, I was an organizer. That was my first foray into being an entrepreneur. So we have a very wonderful system for releasing, and it's part of our process. And then we do educating on the four good F words. It's the only four words you have to know. Fit, fabric, function, flair, in that order. So we're going to be sticklers for fit. We're going to retire some more things that aren't worth getting altered. The fabrics, if it's really good fabric, we're going to get them altered. If they're just a touch off, we're going to get them altered. But it's also figuring out if somebody, if it's a woman, if are they petite, are they plus size, are they a combination? And then by the end of that, we're putting together a list, and usually the team is we land on the five critical pieces because it might be a pair of black pants, it might be a trench coat, it might be a scarf in a great color. So it's five pieces that can instantly transform what you already own. And that's also part of the trust. And the sacred part of what we do is really making people feel good and in control. And then the list goes from there. And some of the lists are very big. Some of them we can just go online and take care of the list. Other times it makes more sense to go in person. And then we do a process called checking out of the store, whether it's online or in person, and checking back into your closet before you snip those tags and making sure that you didn't get caught up in the retail. Retail is big bucks. They're gonna make you feel like you, there's a reason why the even the floor plan is laid out the way that it is. But we come in to make sure that our clients have an incredible peace of mind after going through the process. Most people work with us, you know, it's different if there's people that have a lot going on, and some of them are monthly clients, and then we have people that see us seasonally. And then it's just after that big refresh, which is the pant shape that's best for both your body and today. And sometimes you have your best fit, and that's it. Like, you're not going to follow the trends because it doesn't work. We're going to get the trends in maybe with a color, maybe with a heel. And then there's other people I work with that they just want higher quality, and they want it to last and last, and they want to be them. They don't really want that. We have about 20% of our clients are very high-end fashionistas, not going to lie. But the rest of them, you know, we have some executives and professional men and women that style is part of their brand. And that's a lot of fun. You know, I work with somebody that's in the fashion industry in New York. I'm working with somebody right now that's running for public office. So that's super fun for me. That's like a branding exercise. And, you know, it's all, you know, because I have a background in PR and marketing, and of course I run my own company. So those are the things that we bring to the table that I think are the surprise and delight. You know, and I just texted somebody this morning that's going on a podcast, one of my clients with really young, hip podcast guy, and I just sent her a message. I said, scrap that outfit, let's go with this one. You want it because you want to fit in and you want to stand out in the right way. You want to be true to yourself, but you want to connect with people and fit into an environment. And again, Kathy, what I said is being appropriate, being respectful to yourself shows respect for other people. Early in the pandemic, I was watching people roll out of bed with the baseball caps, the PJs. You saw all social media went crazy with all the memes. But it's really not a way to show up and represent yourself in a world that is so discerning, in a world that's so fast that they're just gonna, you know, when I'm coaching younger people, that's something that I try to instill right off the bat is, what do you want to be known for? And when your clothing and your temperament and your everything, your presence, which is not just clothing, as you know, gives people the opportunity to trust you, know you, take risks. I mean, that's been one of my secret weapons since day one, because I was 28 years old when I was 21 when I started my career right out of college, and we could all share stories, the horror stories, the horror stories. But if you take pride in your appearance, how you show up, how you treat people, how you follow up, do you do what you say you're going to do? Those are the big things. Those are the small things that are actually the big things. And they certainly came back to serve me in my darkest hour.
Thank you so much for walking through all of those. And a lot of what you talked about reminds me of some of my own kind of focus on, I won't call it style and fashion, but we'll call it clothing since the pandemic. And two, for sure, are I don't wear hard pants anymore. And I don't wear high heels anymore. I had a speaking event the other day. I had like a low heel that they were new, and I was like, oh, I kind of need a heel. But I brought my flats as a backup, and 10 minutes into it, I'm like, nope, I'm going to the flats. But they're both high quality, expensive. They're going to last. The same thing with the pants and the shoes. I invest in the pieces that work for me, but they're gonna speak to comfort and appropriateness and presentable and all of that, and it makes me feel good. So I feel like I'm learning from you.
Yeah, and it's also about being prepared, which is another big
Yes.
one that people miss when it comes to the whole dressing game. And I can't tell you the number of women, like if you and I were working together, I'd be like, Kathy, tell me about the audience. Tell me, you know, showing up in heels does elevate. It can elevate. Having the backup, especially when you get there and you're like, oh, these people are real. And I'm like running around with a marker and a clipboard. That is just awesome. And I know back in the day when I was coaching a lot of guys on, you know, what to wear to cocktail parties and all that at these offsites that everybody seemed to have back then, I'd be like, bring the tie, look over the balcony, see what they're wearing, throw the tie back in the hotel room or put the tie on. It's all in the prep.
Being flexible too. Yes, good. Okay, how can people find out more about you? Where do you want to send them to learn more about what we've talked about today and learn more about you?
Okay. The best place is the website, dressingwell.com. And my email is mlandre@dressingwell.com. I invite anyone to reach out to me directly. I'm very, very good about getting back to people. Instagram is Mary Lou Andre Style. LinkedIn is Mary Lou Andre. We have a really active Facebook group, Beyond Dressing Well Live, if you want to join. And my personal Facebook, which is mostly personal, but I do some business things there too. Invite anyone to follow me there. That's also Mary Lou Andre.
Oh, great. I will put all of those in the show notes. Mary Lou, thank you so much. I've so enjoyed being able to connect with you. Again, we've known each other a long, long time through lots of different ways, and the opportunity to just sit down with you for an hour and talk your whole world has really been a joy for me. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. This has been awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Obviously, I could talk to Mary Lou about what she does and her huge passion for this space. And clearly, it's what gets her up in the morning. I could talk to her for another hour just on all of that. Not to mention, don't you kind of want to just get her into your closet right now to look through what you've got and help you shop for what works and tell you what doesn't anymore? She has so much fun stuff online. She's got a great newsletter. Please spend some time to check it out and learn more if the idea of fashion and style and showing up the way you hope, whether you're in a corporate role or not, just how you're out and about in the world, if that's something that really intrigues you and interests you, go learn more about Mary Lou Andre. She's really a gem in this space. And again, she's been in every network, television, newspaper, magazine. She's a go-to. So now that you know her name, you're going to see it a lot more, I bet. Thanks for being here.